got into the life of Samson. And we want to spend a little more time this morning on his life and the principles and teachings in the Word of God that we can learn from Samson. Samson is, I might say again, quite a character. And we can learn a lot from him. I'm not running down Samson because who am I to run anyone down? I just want to know that in Samson's life, there was a lot of things that he did that was so unscriptural. And because of it, he paid a heavy price. His life's work was cut short. His life was cut short. But at the same time, you remember the scriptures is not just so that we can learn history. It's for us. It's so that we'll take the Word of God and understand the teachings of the Word of God so it'll help us. You see, that's what it's for. It's these principles that we'll look at this morning. I've kind of got a list of principles that I just kind of want to look at, just throw out to you in Samson's life that I believe that we need to apply to ourselves. And I believe that's why God pinned them down for us, not just so we would learn the history of these men's lives, but for us, to help us to be more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we had talked about Samson, and I just want to kind of real quickly go back. You look at chapter 13, basically is the story of the announcement of his birth to Manoah and his wife, who we do not know her name, but his mother and father. That whole chapter is mainly devoted to that. Then we find 14, 15, 16th chapter is the story of Samson. And in Samson's life, basically all of those chapters revolve around three ungodly women that Samson had in his life. And if you look at all of those, even the extended stories, after he had met these women, the extended stories is still revolved around his relationship with these three women. And we talked about that last week and how these ungodly women certainly did not help Samson. And we also spent a little time on what a godly woman and what a blessing a godly woman is to a man. Samson certainly needed some woman to be a godly woman, but he wasn't looking there, as we will see. He wasn't looking for that. But it cut Samson's life short and cut his work short. We also talked about his strength and how strong Samson was. But at the same time, he was such a weak man in character. And we just spent a little time talking about, you know, physical strength is not what makes a man. That's not what makes a man. It's the strength of character that makes a real man. And that's something we need to realize. He could control and defeat and the Philistines and kill 1,000 at one time, but he couldn't control and defeat his own emotions and lust of his life. So he was very weak character-wise. And then of course we talked about, and I think I'll go ahead and read those two verses in chapter 14. Verse number 1, it says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath." Look at chapter 16, verse number 1. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." And I think we just started on the fact that Samson lived by sight and not faith. Now that may sound, you say, yes, that's true, and he did. He saw. He looked at the woman of Timnath. He went down to Gaza. He looked and he saw, and he lived by sight and not faith. We've got to be careful about that too. We warn our young people of this church constantly. Don't just look at a young lady's beauty or a young man's strength and maybe being handsome. Please don't do that. You've got to look at the character of the individual. And Samson was not doing that. He was looking at anything beside that. And then I want you to notice, in I read verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. And again, I think maybe we had just kind of started on this, but Samson cared about one individual. That was himself. That's who he cared about. He said, she pleases me, get her for me. That's all she cared about. You see, he was not concerned with what the Lord said, what the Bible said. He was not concerned of what his parents said. He put all of that aside. And I think the contrast, it's interesting, because also John the Baptist was a Nazarite. And he also was promised from birth and announced before his birth. And yet the difference in these two men's lives, John the Baptist was a man completely devoted unto the Lord and his ways, followed God completely and full. Samson was just the opposite. He was called of God before he was born, and yet decided in his life to go the opposite direction and not follow the word of God. Such a contrast there. And so, again, just another principle we can say. Don't care just about self. We've got to remember God has called us to care about people. And not just self and what we want. That's not what it is. It's the fact that God has called all of us to some degree, if you're a child of God, to be like him and to do what he wants us to do. To be a John the Baptist, in other words, devoted unto the Lord, instead of a Samson who didn't really care what the word of God said. He wanted his own desires. You remember we talked about the lust of the flesh. We see that in Samson's life. If you'll read closely the chapter 14 and I think chapter 15, you'll find that the lust of the flesh was there with Samson, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He went and killed a lion. You remember? Killed that lion. Didn't tell mom and dad about it, but he killed that lion. But on his trip back through, he had to go aside and see that carcass, pride of life. You see, the very things that the Word of God talks about that we've got to be careful of. Okay, this is not just for Samson, this is for us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We've got to be careful. So first of all, I kind of want to talk to you about in chapter 14, verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. You see, the parents objected to what Samson was doing. And the reason they did was because scripturally they were objecting. They knew that God had forbid the marriage of God's people with the heathen. That was completely and fully forbidden. And they knew that. And so they objected. And yet he rejected the counsel of his parents. This is very, very important. This is one of the things that we're facing in America today, is the rejection of authority. I mean, all over and in every situation, there's the rejection of authority. Samson cast aside the authority of his parents. Let me say to you, this book, and you know this, is God's word. It ought to have complete authority over our life. It is absolute truth. Absolute. And it ought to be the authority that guides and directs our life. And yet I say to you, multitudes upon multitudes are rejecting the authority of the Word of God. There's also, and I preached a sermon, it's been quite a few years back, but on Satan's attack on the structure of the family. The family is being absolutely destroyed. Satan is attacking the structure. And one of the things that he's so done with the women's movement is to attack the leadership in the family. The husband is to be the leadership in the family. God said that. It's not Robert Ross saying that. That's what God said. And that is being rejected all over, even in Christian circles. The authority of the husband in the home is stated in the Bible. It is God's will, and yet that's being rejected. Once again, the rejection of authority. And not only that, the authority of the parents, as we just talked here, the authority of the parents is being rejected completely and fully in most young people's lives. They don't think they had to pay attention to the parents, and that's being rejected. So authority is a real problem. But even out in society, authority in the workplace is being rejected. Some of you men who have people who work for you, you know this. They don't want to do what you want them to do. They don't think you have a right to tell them what to do. Well, my friend, they do. God, in His Word, talks about the servant and the master. And we are to obey those in authority over us. You see, but that's being rejected. Now, let's go on to another principle. Another principle is that he was looking in the wrong place for a wife. He went down to Timnath. You don't go down to Timnath into the heathen country and look for a wife. And I say that today for young people. You don't go to a bar or some place like that to look for a wife. You don't go to the worldly amusements and look for a wife. You go to the house of God. And I know you can get fooled in the house of God. I know all of that. But let me tell you, it's a better place to start than this old world. That's why young people go to Bible college many times. And we kid about it, you know, they go to get a wife or they go to get a husband. But to some degree, isn't that good? I mean, isn't that right? Isn't that a good place to start? Tommy, where'd you get your wife? David, where'd you get your wife? Sure. Chad Gordon got his wife. Who am I missing? I can't remember. Excuse me? Yes. Yes. You see what I'm talking about? You got to go to the right place to get your husbands and your wife. You see, well, he wasn't looking in the right place. He was going down to the land of the Philistines looking for a wife. I'm just saying to you, look for the right place and try to encourage your young people, your sometimes children or grandchildren. Try to encourage them to look to the right place for a mate. Amen? And so what was he going to find? Well, he was going to find exactly what he was looking for. And that's what he found. And caused him trouble, all kinds of trouble it caused Samson. Now, so anyway, in verse 4, let me just kind of cover that lightly. He says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. You cannot read into that that God was behind him going to Timnath and hunting a wife. That's not what the Word of God is saying. what God is saying in that, he's going to take even his mistakes, and many times he does that, the wrong direction of life, and use it for his goodness. God here brought judgment in spite of Samson's disobedience, not because of it. God never blesses the disobedience. I've heard people say, and listen to me, I am thankful and grateful. My wife and I, neither one of us was saved when we got married. And I am very grateful for the wonderful grace of God, goodness of God. I know of couples that there was one of them saved and one of them lost. And they say, well, it worked out. The other one got saved. Well, that again is the grace of God. But it's not what we're supposed to do. And thank God for his grace and his mercy. If he did that for you or for someone else, thank God for that. But it's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed, the Christian is not supposed to marry the unbeliever. I mean, many of these things are just principles that you know, but I'm just restating them, trying to help you to remember them. Because God's people is supposed to marry God's people. Amen. See, that's the way it is. Well, Samson certainly didn't go looking for that. He went looking for exactly what he got. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 14, notice, Samson went down. Look at verse 5. Then went Samson down. Look at verse 7. And he went down. Let me say to you, geographically and spiritually, Samson went down. Rebellion against God Almighty will always take you on a downward trail. It always will. You remember when Jonah rejected and rebelled against God? The Bible says he went down to Joppa. And then he went down in the belly of the ship and went asleep. He went down into the ship, and then he ended down in the bottom of a sea in the belly of a whale. You see, rebellion absolutely will always, always, always take you down. Amen. You think you get by with rebelling against God? There, nobody gets by with it. You see, you're not going to win that. We're talking about the true and holy God. No one is going to win that. You see, Samson and Jonah rebelled against God Almighty. And rebellion always, 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 remember this, will lead downward, you see. You know what the world would told Samson? Samson, you go do whatever you want. Whatever feels right, you just go do it. It's all right. You're doing all right. That's what the world would tell you. That's what the world is giving advice to even Christian people today. You ought to have a good time. You ought to just go on. Do whatever you want to do. But let me say to you, the world's up is God's down. You may think you're going up, but you're not. You see, in the end, you see, if you cover Samson's life, look at the end of it. You say, boy, look at all the fun and enjoyment he had. Boy, look at the end of it. His eyes poked out, grinding meal, and finally dying with a part of a temple area falling on him. Now let's go back and say, Samson, how was life? How did things work out for you? You see, so remember this. Rebellion always, always, always leads down. You got to remember this, and I hope you do. Our plumb line, you know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is a heavy object on the bottom, usually has a point on it, with a string up here. And you put it up here, and you let it stop weaving back and forth. You have a straight line from there down. Our plumb line is the Word of God. For the Christian, there is no other plumb line. You and I have to take the Word of God. We have to follow the Word of God. And you see, whatever he says, that's what is important. No matter what man says, who cares what men say? I get so tired of hearing some people. I'm more interested in what God says. I want to know what God says in his word. And Samson was one that should have paid attention to that. You see, the world's opinion doesn't matter. Amen? It's what God says that matters, you see. So, and then another principle that I'd like to share with you. If you'll notice in verse 5, he says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him." Here's a principle that I believe. Do you notice who went with Samson down to Timnath? His parents. Now, you remember his parents objected with talk, but they did not walk the talk. I don't know all the situations, but I do know that back then in that culture, that's why Samson said to his father, "Get her for me." That was the way they did it. The father usually went and negotiated with the woman's parents and set up this marriage. Now we see the parents walking down to Timnath with Samson. Parents, you don't have to go with them. When they're going against the Bible, the Word of God, you should not go with them. They're going against what God says. It's not for you to walk with them down to Timnath. You should speak to them as the parents did. But they should have followed through and said, "Son, if you're going to Timnath after that woman, you're going alone." Amen? Amen. See, I'm just saying to us, we parents have a responsibility to stand up to truth. Understand? Amen? Is that a good principle?
Amen.
Sure. Now, I want to, and notice in verse number, in 5, he said, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath." Now, let me ask you a question. I thought that Samson was a Nazarite. What is he doing in the vineyards? And I have a feeling Mom and Dad was over there. Of course, there was probably more people traveling that road. And Samson slipped off into the vineyards of Timnath. And I imagine Mom and Dad was saying, "Oh, I hope he don't eat them grapes. He's a Nazarite." And I can tell you right now, that's why he went over there. You see, there again, where do we find Samson? Where he oughtn't to be. He should have never went over there. You see, you stay away from temptations. Amen? He should have been as far away from that as he could have stayed. Should have stayed with his parents. Now, he shouldn't have been on the road anyway, but he should have stayed with his parents. Now, there's another principle. When you go and stray from the path that God has designed for you, there's always danger on that path. And the Bible says he met a young lion. You see, always, there's the lion waiting for those that get off of the path that God has designed. You remember, God said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You see, God called Satan there a lion. And here we find that Samson met the lion there in the vineyards where he shouldn't have been. And so God sends a warning there. You know, the lion usually attacks the sickly, the weak, the stragglers. Satan does the same thing. The weak spiritually. He said the sick. I'm not talking about physical sickness. I'm talking about spiritual sickness and spiritual weakness. Oh, Satan attacks. And he attacks those who have strayed off of the path. See, that's why it's so important that you and I just stay right on the straight and narrow. You got to remember something. This old world doesn't have the answer for us. You've got to remember that. Doesn't make a difference what this world says and the people of this world say. You've got to stick with the Bible. Amen? Don't stray off the path, because I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a lion waiting. Amen? And that's always true. You see, you leave the path. And you know, there's example after example in the Bible. Jonah was one. We talked about Jonah. He's a good example of that. It was a whale in his situation. Abraham. Remember, he went down to Egypt and the trouble he got into back down there. He went down there when he should not have went down there. There was famine in the land. He should not have. He should have stayed in the land and trusted God. I'm not making fun of these men. I'm just using them as examples. We'll do the same thing if we don't be careful. Of course, he brought Hagar back and all the problems and troubles that went along with that. Amen. You see, and of course, Lot, he's a tremendous example going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. See, he strayed from the path and there's a lion waiting. And then, of course, there's Samson here and we could name many, many more, because they're men and they should be very careful. And that should say to us, be very careful. Don't stray from the path. Stick with the Bible, Word of God. Follow God's Word. Trust God. Amen. Don't pay attention to men unless they tell you what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Now, in verse number 6, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. If you notice there, Samson defeats the lion, and the Bible says it was a young lion. It was not some old lion about ready to die. It was a lion in its youth and strength. You know, they tell me, I'm no expert on lions, but they tell me usually a young lion like that could weigh anywhere from 400 to 500 pounds. I've been told that the front paw of a lion will weigh 25 pounds. And that the claws can dig in 4 inches and rip. They have the strength to break the vertebrae of an ox. This was no just feat that happened. He had nothing in his hand. We know why he defeated this lion, because of the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That's where he always, you'll always notice that in the Bible. When his strength is great, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so it was a miracle of God that this happened. But at the same time, it was the mercy of God. As none of us deserve it, not a single one of us, deserve the mercy of God, or the grace of God. But he showed forth his mercy and grace to Samson and spared him. He could not have done that. He would have been ripped to pieces in his own strength. Amen? And you and I will too, in our own strength. We need God's strength. Need him every day, every single day. We need God's strength. This was a warning from God. He sent the lion, I believe, as a warning to Samson. And that warning went unheeded. I might say to you that the warnings that God sends us, whether you think he does or not, can I guarantee you something? He does. And he warns us. And we should not let them warnings go unheeded. We should listen, because God's doing it out of mercy and grace, trying to get us to stay on the right path. Samson, get out of the vineyards. Don't go to Timnath. And you know what he did? He rejected those warnings. Now notice, it's interesting, because at the end of that verse, I'm just about done here, but at the end of that verse he says, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. If you had just went somewhere down the trail somewhere and a big old lion attacked you and you just ran him as a kid, would you tell somebody about it? Can I tell you why Samson didn't? He knew his parents believed the word of God. And in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 27th verse of the 11th chapter, it said, he that touches even a dead carcass of a beast is unclean till evening. He would have been unclean. And he didn't want to miss what verse 7 said. And verse 7 is, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. I believe that's exactly the reason he did not tell his mother and father, was because he knew that they would consider him unclean until evening, and he wanted to get down there and get to busy in his sin. Now, he didn't want anything to interrupt it. Now, let me say something, folks. He defeats the lion and falls victim to another more deceptive enemy in verse 7. This woman of Timnath. The lion he could defeat, the woman he could not. Well, I've got to stop. We'll continue on next week. But folks, listen, take those principles in God's word and apply them to you and me, and I'll do it to me, okay? Apply them, because we need to listen very closely, because them old lions are out there waiting. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. I'm so thankful you're the true, the living God. So thankful for Jesus, our precious, precious Savior. And Lord, just help us to learn from the Bible, your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.